Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Onaje Allen Gums, a musician of unusual talents. He plays a variety of keyboard instruments, composes, and arranges for the movies and for singers. And he's recorded many of his own songs, playing all the instruments himself. That's fantastic, you know, that record that's called That Special Part of Me. I love that.
Thank you. Actually, the title track, I played instruments so they would sound like traditional acoustic instruments like brass and bass, because I feel the acoustic sound and the natural sound is so much warmer, and it really penetrates a lot more.
Well, it is, and you know, I mean, I was taken in when I first heard that thing. I thought that you actually played all the instruments, not that you sampled them on the synthesizer, which I guess is what you did.
Well, there were synthesized sounds, but it was long before the sampling idiom that's coming to the music recently. But just the sounds in the synthesizer had like brass sounds and bass sounds and actually even some acoustic piano sounds. But that was the only song that I did on that album like that. The rest of the album was using a saxophone player and a bass player and a drummer and myself on piano, because I really feel that's my real voice, is really having other instrumentalists playing with me to play off of.
Well, altogether, it's a very wonderful record. I guess you've got something new coming up that you're working on.
Yeah, I'm working on a project right now, you know, that I'm not sure when it'll be out, but some new music that's been in my brain for a while.
Well, you've got a lot of music in your brain, and I would love to hear some of it. How about playing one of your own things, and this is just strictly on piano?
I'll play a piece from the first album called First Time We Met.
Okay. Been into so many projects since I last saw you. You wrote a score for a movie?
Yeah, it was very interesting because it was my first movie score, and I had gotten word that Danny Glover was directing his first movie.
No kidding.
I knew Danny on more of a personal level, and I was encouraged to call him, and I was kind of hesitant, although I've been into movie and music since I was like 8 years old, but I never felt confident I could do a score. But I was encouraged to call him and just take a chance. So I called him and left a message. Then he finally got back to me, and one thing led to another, and I ended up doing the score for a Showtime movie that marked his directorial debut. And it starred Lou Diamond Phillips and Eric Alexander from a sitcom that's on TV. And it felt good, and I was amazed that I really had kind of a knack for doing, you know, dramatic scoring.
It's amazing. You know, you're a very humble, I guess it's a word, guy, and you evidently didn't think that you were capable of doing that. But I'm glad that you took a chance and went ahead, because that's what you have to do in this business, as you well know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you did it, because it came out nicely, didn't it?
It came out very well. It's funny because the only excuse I had for not calling Danny was, well, I never did it before. And the person said, so? That's no excuse. Call him anyway. So that's how it turned out.
Well, anyway, I mean, you studied music as a kid, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Didn't you go to college?
I went to Music and Art High School in Manhattan and went to State University of Fredonia and took formal training for 4 years and got a degree in music education with applied piano.
Well, did you have to do the movie, like, with a click track?
No, actually, it's funny. I scored the movie kind of the way the old piano in the silent films.
Yeah.
Because I was able to sync the music to a film, because with the technology now, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, because it was all on, again, on keyboards, the engineer was able to run the film, and I was able to actually play to the action on the film.
Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
Then working on it, it became more stylized, so it sounded as though it was a completely written piece of work.
It's funny, I did that years ago on a short documentary, and it seemed so easy to be doing your thing and watching the movie, and the tune kind of evolved. As
yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful. So.
Yeah. Had some nice music come out of that, you know, and that I've used on live work, but it was a great experience.
Well, before we go on and I quiz you some more, how about another of your beautiful tunes?
This is a new piece that I wrote with a very fine lyricist called Goran Chambers. His name mm-hmm. is Goran Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a song actually was supposed to be delivered for another movie called Hoodlum. But it never made the cut. It never even got into a recording studio. But I like the song so much. I love the lyric. I decided I want to do something with it myself. And it's called Maybe Next Year. And it talks about written for a lady, so it's about the fact that she's been in an affair for so long and she's not ready to commit again. But there's one gentleman that she really likes. If he gives her some time, maybe next year she'll think about it.
That's a great idea for a lyric.
Yeah.
But you're not going to sing it.
Oh, I'm not singing. No, no. Someone else sang the lyric. I'll
okay.
just play.
Okay. Really a lovely song, and I'm glad that it has a lyric, because maybe you can interest somebody like Cassandra Wilson in that tune.
Actually, I gave her a copy. So
oh,
maybe
good for you.
She might want to do it. And then some other ladies, and probably maybe some gentlemen that I want to introduce the song to, because my goal and my dream is that somehow it becomes a standard that everyone wants to do.
Well, you just have to keep it moving and get
yeah.
the right people to perform it, because it has all the good qualities of a standard. Speaking of Cassandra Wilson, didn't you do some conducting for her or arrange her show?
Yes,
some time
she
ago?
Was involved in a concert dedicated to the music of Miles Davis, or music associated with Miles Davis.
Wow, that's a project.
Yeah, and I had the opportunity of not only arranging a couple of songs for the concert, but also conducting the entire concert, which actually in my entire career was the first time I had been on the podium conducting an ensemble.
Wow, you're getting awfully bold.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
think that's wonderful, because that gives you so much more freedom when
yes.
you're performing your own work.
Right, right. And it was done at a venue that was quite impressive. It was done at Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center. So I really felt good, and the response from the audience was quite good.
And she had 6 days in which to do these Miles
yes.
Davis songs, so I bet she went from the early days right up to present day.
Yeah, she took a good cross-section of his music, going as far back as It Never Entered My Mind and I Fall in Love Too Easily, through Surrey with the Fringe on Top and Frey the Freeloader, All Blues,
My
So What,
goodness.
And even Tutu, and some of the later works. I actually did a version of one of the popular tunes from the 80s that he recorded, Time After Time, by Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah.
But what I did was I introduced in the introduction, I decided to put the intro to the other Time After Time. You know, Time After Time, I tell myself that
mean...
I... Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
So the last part
idea.
Of that, I used that as an introduction to show that I have some history and understanding the music with a title like that. So it then led right into the new Time After Time.
You learned a lot of tunes when you were growing up, I'll bet.
Yeah.
How did you learn tunes?
Well, of course, I studied classical music, but the radio was a constant companion. And I listened to all the music that came through the radio because it was not as sectionalized or compartmentalized as it is now. You listen to a lot of different styles on one station. And actually, Dr. Billy Taylor, who's one of my mentors, had a radio show on...
WLIB?
Actually, before LIB, it was
really?
WNEW AM,
really?
And he had a jazz show. And then he moved to LIB, and I moved with him.
I used to listen to that show a lot.
Yeah.
Boy, Billy has done more
for
our music. It's just great. So you probably learned the tunes just hearing them rather than seeing sheet music.
Yeah, and one gentleman that actually was very instrumental in my listening appreciation of jazz actually was the late Henry Mancini.
Oh,
as far as,
God,
as,
what a sweet man.
As far as a writer, an arranger, I went through all the movies he scored.
And wonderful songs.
Yes, so my sense of melody comes from that and also from Brazilian music, which is one of my first loves.
Well, you know, that's sort of a cue for song. We could maybe try a duet and do a Jobim thing.
Okay.
Like meditation. Could we do that one?
That's fine. That's cool.
Let's try that.
All right.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. You may enjoy another of our productions, Song Travels with Michael Feinstein. Check out the podcast. Subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.